Welcome to Talking to Grandma, a weekly podcast that elevates stories, science, and strategies to help you raise and teach multilingual and bilingual children. I'm your host, Dr. Veronica Benavides, founder and CEO of Bilingual Generation, an organization that helps children with bilingualism in their bones stay connected to their heritage languages and cultures. I'm also a Harvard-educated doctora who has experienced losing, recovering, and passing on my heritage language to my children. Whether you are a parent, grandparent, teacher, researcher, school leader, or simply someone interested in the topics of language learning and language preservation, this podcast is for you. Through interviews with amazing guests and solo episodes, you will find the resources, guidance, and strategies needed to support you in your journey. Let's get started. For today's episode of Talking to Grandma, we chat with Carlos Torres about the Yo Sabo game and how it has brought together generations and made language learning fun.
I just think it's like so amazing to see real time getting messages like that saying, we sat down and played your game with three generations of Mexican Americans. And all of us had such a great time because we all had the different experiences growing up, but we all still felt really together. And I was like, man, that's amazing, because I would have never, ever thought like me, you know, me as a person being able to connect with people all across the state and, you know, all across, you know, other locations, other countries.
Carlos and his partner, Jess, are the creators of the Yo Sabo game. They are first generation Mexican-American college graduates from the University of California, Riverside. They both grew up in Latino households, but had different experiences growing up. They both continue to want to spread the Spanish language and to engage those who feel like they need help to learn or relearn the language. And they both have STEM backgrounds. Stick around to hear about Carlos's journey and how you can make language learning fun in your home, gatherings, and classrooms. Welcome to the show, Carlos. We are so excited to have you on the show today. I would love to get started with a introduction of yourself to learn a little bit about who you are, what your language story has been, and why you're here today with us on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much, Vero. I really do want to say thank you for having me and for letting us talk further about, you know, not only Yo Sabo the game, but just in general, the life story, right? The Spanish journey, like you mentioned, because I think that's really important and goes hand in hand with our product itself. And so my name is Carlos. I'm the CEO and founder, and one of the founders for Yo Sabo the game. And my language story really begins when I was younger. You know, my mom raised me, but she was a single mom. And so I was raised in a household with herself and I think like six other people. And so it was a very tight-knit family. But the issue is that my mom wanted to further her English because she really needed to get a job. She came here from Puebla when she was really young. And she also had me when she was really young. She was 18. And so for her, she was like, Carlos, you need to learn English and you need to, you know, speak it well so I could speak it well, so I could go and get a job and make sure that we all have food on the table. And so a lot of times when I was growing up, my mom would tell me, you know, like, ¿cómo se dice esto? But, you know, make it the English word. And so for me, it was always like, okay, let's get that English priority on. And then further down the line in high school, for example, I really wasn't home that much. My mom was really into making sure that I got good grades. And so, you know, my school bus left at 6 a.m. It would come back sometimes like at 6 p.m. just because I would do extracurricular activities. And then my mom had a really strict bedtime of 9 p.m. And so I really, you know, had that 3-hour gap. But a lot of times my mom was still really tired from the day. And my grandma was also really tired because they were working costura. And so for them, it was like really, you know, hard labor for them. And so I really didn't get that much interaction with my mom to really develop my Spanish. And once I finally left to college, it just, you know, it felt like it disseminated, right? Like it just like ended because I was in a STEM major and I really didn't have time to register for a Spanish class or to, you know, do so many more extracurricular activities. And again, this is my personal experience, and I'm sure other people might have had a bit of easier time during college, you know, doing those things. So for me, it was just like my day was just full of labs, handful of classes, and you know, it was just so tiring doing this stuff. And so in college, I just really lost my Spanish a lot. And so, you know, getting to now, me and my wife were talking about making the card game for a really long time, actually, like 2 years before we even set out to do Yosabo. And it was mostly because we're like, we have the time now. We should be going back to our culture and our roots and getting to know what our grandparents went through and getting to know everything else that Mexico has to offer. And so that's why we're like, yeah, let's really do this. It's going to help us, you know, dive into that world. And that's sometimes one of the big reasons why we call Yosabo the game our passion project, because it really is more than just a business. It really was it was started as a way to just connect back, you know, connect back with my mom, connect back with my grandma, and to practice my Spanish, because I'll still say I still very much stumble. I still very much forget words. But I think, like it says on our website, that's totally okay, because we all had different, you know, different ways that we were raised. And so for us to be, you know, be willing and open to try is all we could ask for.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the joy that you're bringing around language learning and shifting the narrative from being something that can be seen as like difficult or hard or like, you know, something that you have to study in a serious type of way to something that's fun, that's steeped in connection. You mentioned a little bit about your wife, who is the co-founder of the game, which is really cool. Tell me a little bit more about her language story and how that came into the development of the game as well.
Yeah, so my wife was actually, she's really well-versed in Spanish. So it really helped, like, you know, balance each other out, because I would ask her, do you think this word is too easy or too hard for like a person that doesn't know Spanish to guess? Mm-hmm. And so she really was that backbone of the product, because she was really like, you know, this is how you say the word, or this is how you shouldn't say the word. And so with her help, we really just like refined it, you know, and it was a way for her to put in her own experience, because she also has her own Spanish journey. But I will say, just Spanish is very well, you know, she spoke it a lot. Right after college, she actually did end up going back home for a little while. So there she further developed it, because she was with her mom, her grandma, and she's always been very open to speaking Spanish and not having, you know, any hesitation. And I see that, you know, even now, you know, when we go to visit her grandma, there's always that conversational piece where she's willing to ask those questions. And same thing with her parents, right? They spoke English and they speak a little bit of English, but they really just like love speaking Spanish to us. And I love that, right? Because it feels like now I have two families to speak Spanish with and practice, and they get to see my development over it, which is really cool. But I think one of the, and this is, I guess, more product related, Jess was actually one of the people that really came up with the rest of the cards that we have in Yosabo. So adding the Latino trivia and the challenges that we have, that really was her. And so that really put the game to the next level, and to make it more of a interactive type of thing rather than a quizzing type of thing. She is a very integral role in Yosabo, the game. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so tell us a little bit more about that trivia or the Latino culture, because I think a core part of your thesis is that language and culture are intertwined, right? It's not something that we should be learning separately. And so how do y'all think about that, and how does that inform the design and how you play the game?
Yeah. And I think I'll start off by also saying that we added these because we also wanted to show that it didn't matter how much Spanish you knew if you all sort of shared the same similar experiences growing up. Right. So it doesn't matter if your Spanish was 100%. Me and you could have done the same thing. Me and you could have watched the same Spanish shows growing up, done the same home remedies growing up, you know, talk to our grandma a certain way growing up, and all these things. And so that's really what led to us like, yeah, let's solidify that in there, because we want other people, again, people who might not be well versed in Spanish, to feel represented in the game and to feel like they have a chance at winning, because in reality, they should. The fault in your language shouldn't judge the way that you're treated outside. Right. And so, yeah, we tried to come up with very common themes in a Latino household. And we really tried to put in our own personal experience, right? Like, you know, for example, I have one right here that says where your grandma was watching the news and she really does believe everything that comes out of it. And sometimes, you know, the news might say something like the big headline, but then when you read further into it, you know, there's a little bit more things to break down. And so for me, I just felt like that was funny because, you know, I would come back home sometimes and my grandma would say something like, oh, I saw that in the news, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. And it's like, Like, let me go look at what they said, and then, you know, we'll read a little bit more into it. It's like, grandma, it only says that, you know, this is like 10% of the population or something, mm-hmm. you know? And so we really had fun with it and in adding that and trying to connect with other people. And it's been amazing because we'll get messages where families will tell us, like, I played this with my mom and my dad mm-hmm. because I wasn't able to play another game with them. And they were actually able to get their parents to start talking, you know, and sharing. And for that's amazing, because for me, that's really what I wanted, was to kind of connect that language, right? Like your experiences, like you mentioned, get them all intertwined so that we could all share them together to see that we're not all different. And I think it was a very big success. And I still think it's something that I, you know, I love to talk about, but I always tell myself to be very like humble about it. But I just think it's like so amazing to see real time getting messages like that saying, and we sat down and played your game with three generations of Mexican Americans. And all of us had such a great time because we all had the different experiences growing up, but we all still felt really together. And I was like, man, that's amazing, because I would have never, ever thought, like, me, you know, me as a person being able to connect with people all across the state and, you know, all across, you know, other locations, other countries. Like, we've talked to people in other countries like Europe and Australia and stuff like that. But yeah, we just really wanted to add those so that, again, people could see that, hey, we are very similar. We share these experiences and we love to talk about them. And I would love to see what you have to share. And that's the main thing, yeah, trying to get everything connected.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, in the Latino culture, we love a family gathering with like primos upon primos upon primos. So it's so beautiful when you can have a game that brings everybody together to play and to laugh and to have fun. And so I definitely would recommend that. And I know we have our order put in. So when you hear this episode, you should put in your order too, because it really seems like it makes that connections across generations, in addition to addressing what has been a very taboo subject in the Latino community for a long time, which is our fluency in relationship to our language. For generations, and even still today, the term no sabo is used in a derogatory way, or can mm-hmm. be used to create divisions between our generations or between our people, or to say that you're not Latino enough. So I'd love to hear from you what your understanding or experience of no sabo was, and then why did you and Jess decide to call the game yo sabo?
Yeah, and I think that's a great question, because growing up, I didn't really feel like, and again, might be because no sabo is more new in a way, and I'm fairly, I don't want to age myself, but I'm a little bit older. And so when I was growing up, I never was called that, but I know for sure I said it incorrectly a good amount of times. And my mom and my grandma might have called me out on it, but never had used a term against me. And then in high school, you know, I didn't really speak that much Spanish, and so there wasn't a way for me to get made fun of like that. But now, seeing it now and seeing it being used in that sort of derogatory way or trying to put some people down, I think it just goes back to what I mentioned before about, you know, we really can't judge someone's experiences growing up or the hardships that they had, you know, when they were younger. And I think in that article, right, by NBC, mm-hmm. they mentioned about all these things that actually happened all across states that were actually very negative towards the Spanish language and all these barriers that people had to do. And so for me to call someone an Osabo kid, it's like me saying, you know, really dismissing all those hardships that they might have had growing up. And so I was like, yeah, we can't really do that. We need to empower the person to be able to say yo sabo, even if they don't know, because I want them to feel empowered to be able to say that I'm trying, right? And so that's one of the main reasons why, instead of just using no sabo, which is a very, very widely used term, we went ahead and said yo sabo, because we want to say, you know, when you're trying to guess a Spanish word, you want to raise your hand and say yo sabo, even if sabo is completely wrong. And we actually have that on our box, and I love that. And I'll read it just because it kind of links to the question. It says, don't you hate it when someone asks you to translate and you don't know the word in Spanish, so you have to say no sabo? Well, we are here to help you say yo sabo. Just kidding. We know it's yo sé. So it's like a play on that phrase, because we really just want people to be able to say it. And honestly, like, I feel like we have been doing it. I feel like people have been saying like yo sí sabo, you know, we're like mm-hmm. yo sabo all the time, because we want to take back that, you know, the negative term, and we want people to be able to practice their language regardless if it's 100%. Because to be honest with you, the hardship that people face when learning a new language, whether it be Spanish, German, French, Italian, all that stuff, is still going to happen. People are always going to forget words no matter what. You know, I can't imagine someone learning, for example, Italian and getting asked directions for in Italian and then them being, you know, telling them like, oh, that's not the right way to, you know, say these things. And for me, I was like, yeah, we can't have that. We need to have a game that helps people say, yo sabo, I'm empowered to be able to practice my Spanish. I'm empowered to make mistakes. And, you know, no sabo has just, again, no sabo, like you mentioned, right? That term has just not sat too well with me. And it's one of those things that the reasons why we did that. We want to change that. We want to become an agent of change because we want to make sure that people understand that we created the game to help cultivate the Spanish in people that might not have the Spanish skills to begin with. But, you know, this is a fun way to just practice, get your parents to play, quiz yourself. We've had people say that they'll quiz their loved ones, maybe because they're not, you know, Latino. I think a couple messaged me. I think she was Mexican, but I think her boyfriend was Arab, and that she was using it so that he could learn some, you know, Spanish words, but also some background on the culture and for them to really share like, oh, if you don't do this, then what do you do? We want to take that back. And I will say we are taking it back.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's like been a larger conversation, and the game is really helping to push that conversation forward, because I think for so long it's been, you know, you can feel a little bit of shame around like, oh, I'm Latino. I should be able to speak the language, or I don't speak it well enough, or I don't know this word. And I know that I felt that growing up when I started to like try to learn Spanish more and reclaim it more. I was very nervous about my accent or maybe saying something wrong or conjugating wrong. And I remember I moved to Mexico for a couple of years, and it took me a while to get over the fact that like everybody looks at me and I look Mexican, right? Mm-hmm. And then I would open my mouth and talk and they'd be like, oh, no eres aquí. And I'm like, yeah. No, like it's so obvious. And so feeling that identity stuff and all of that can make learning Spanish complicated, right? And so that's why when you're connected to the language that way, and that's why I love that your game connects it so much to culture and makes you feel a sense of belonging no matter what your fluency is, and also a fun game for people to feel a less shame-based relationship to the language and a more playful relationship to the language. And I was thinking about when I was looking at the game and the work that y'all were doing and revisiting that article, the NBC article that we'll link in the show notes. It made me think about the poem by Ariana Brown. It's called Dear White Girls in My Spanish Class. Have you heard of that poem before?
I think I've heard it before.
Well, there was, I think it's towards the end of the line where she says, how does it feel to take a foreign language for fun, to owe your history nothing? And I think about that a lot of like, when we take a foreign language, it's not just for fun because we have this relationship to it. And that's what I love so much about this game, is that it's taking it and making it more fun than what it has historically been. And so I wonder if you've also heard stories from that, or you've heard folks reflecting, or if you've experienced this yourself, of like people shifting from that place of shame of no sabo to a place of fun and ownership and playfulness around the language.
Yeah. And I will say that we've had that happen, but I wanted to, because I think you brought up a good point, you know, about being like a bit shameful about stuff. And I feel like that just changes so much throughout the years, because this is like a thing that I probably never said before, but this happened to me in high school. And I remember it because now I see how music is really being used. I remember when I was in high school, someone had asked me like, oh, what music do you listen to? And back then I used to be very into reggaeton, very into Daddy Yankee. And I remember the guy that asked me was Mexican as well. And I remember I said, you know, like, oh yeah, like, you know, like Daddy Yankee, you know, he has like good music, you know, reggaeton, all that stuff. He's like, why are you listening to Daddy Yankee, bro? Like, go listen to Dr. Dre or something. And I remember that because back then I was like, man, I'm never telling anybody I listen to Spanish music anymore, you know, in high school, because it was so different. And now you look at it now, like you look at the artists that we have at Coachella, for example, you know, we just had Becky G with Bessel Pluma come out as a special guest, which is a completely different story from how it was back then, where if you were listening to Spanish music, it was like kind of shameful, or like you wouldn't be able to, you know, really, I guess, really brag about it, how you do now. And so I just think it's crazy to see sometimes the change, right, that happens sometimes. I know it's taken years because I graduated from high school like a long time ago. I mean, I'm mentioning Dr. Dre.
Carlos, you have to tell us now. You keep saying, you like, people are going to think you're like 80 years old or something. They're just listening. They don't see you. He's not that old, y'all.
I'm 31. So I'm 31. So it's been a while since I've been in high school,
Okay, I got you beat by 5 years. It's okay.
It's okay. You don't look any older than that. So you're good. But yeah, but getting back to the question, we've definitely had people message us saying, you know, like, oh yeah, like I'm able to say Yo Sabo now. And it's funny because they'll message me and they'll leave reviews about it, right? Like saying like, oh, this game was so fun because I was able to speak out about these things and really interact with the game. Or I'm able to say Yo Sabo. And it's just funny to me, again, because that's the name of the game, right? And so now they're using it as a term. And so it's like Yo Si Sabo or Yo Sabo. And so for me, like having them show me that experience that they're having has been amazing, because I would have never expected it. But it also makes me feel like now they feel empowered to practice their Spanish, even if it's like making mistakes, all that stuff. Because at the end of the day, maybe, and I'm hoping this is the effect, that maybe they'll return back to that fun game night that they had when they were practicing Spanish and feel that same joy from the game night to a regular day where they're just practicing their Spanish at the Super or the Super King or anywhere like that. I'm very grateful that people trust me, right, to share those things with me. I'm very happy that it's going on, but I really do think that there's a good amount of work to still to do in addition to really putting the word out, really working with others to work with them to bring the Spanish language even further. And so that's why, you know, Vero, going back to, you know, the work that you do, I think it's just amazing, right? And it's really solidifying the Spanish language in our community, which I think is, again, like I mentioned before, in the past, very difficult to do. Now, you know, I see a big avenue, and I'm just really happy that I'm getting, you know, a chance to speak with you about it.
Yeah. And the work is like, the work is intersectional. And I love what you share about what we're seeing today in music as well, as a reflection of our mindset. I often like to say, like, there's a generational readiness now. Like, you know, I came from parents that were physically punished in school when they were heard speaking Spanish. And now we're in, like, we're raising children. We have another generation where we're like, wait a minute, bilingualism is a gift. Like, knowing your history and culture is a gift. Like, it's something that's wonderful. It's beautiful. It should be celebrated. And we're seeing that reflected in our music. We're seeing it reflected in the games that we're looking at in our schools as well. So yeah, we all are working to help build this next generation that we want to see. Yeah. And speaking of that next generation, we have a lot of listeners who are parents or educators of multilingual or emerging multilingual children. Can you share a little bit more about how the Yo Sabo game maybe has been used by parents or teachers to help their children learn and love Spanish? If those are for older grades as well, and do you have any plans to make a game for younger children as well?
Yeah. That's a good question, because so earlier this year we had made there's a website called Donors Choose. And we had just, you know, we were just on there making small donations, because I was looking at schools in my old neighborhood where I used to live, and I was like, oh, I wonder what schools need help right now. And yeah, I came up on a teacher who teaches Spanish and English, and I was like, oh, this is amazing, because they're actually doing this now. And I donated money to her classroom, and then she messaged me and she was just sharing like, oh, thank you so much, you know, we actually play your game, but we modify it because, you know, our game doesn't mention drinking at all except on the instruction cards, and everything else does not mention anything at all in drinking. But, you know, it's safer to just, you know, ask the kids, a lot younger kids in elementary, just the words. And so she sent me videos of her playing with the kids, just the palabras. Wow. And I was like, that's so cool, because they have Yo Sabo Fridays, I think is what she told me. and so she was sharing with me, you know, like how they play and, you know, what they get out of it, and sort of like, again, helping them just speak out, right, in a way, mm-hmm. and really voice it out loud, even if they're wrong. And I think that's so important. And so working from that, we are currently working on a I want to say classroom friendly edition, but it's mm-hmm. also going to include a different way to play to make it more competitive in regards to, you know, sentence building and really learning how to build sentences on your own with the help of your teacher or with the help of your parent. And so that's what's next on the pipeline. And we haven't thought of a name yet, but for sure it's going to have Yo Sabo at the top, and then it's going to have something else that's going to be, you know, maybe I don't want it to say classroom edition. But I wanted to say more for something relating to the kids, right?
Yeah.
But we've certainly seen teachers just take out the pruebas or maybe the chanclas and then, you know, just use the words, really quiz the kids, get them into groups separately and, you know, give them the words and then quiz each other's groups. We've definitely seen in the classroom a lot. We've actually seen a lot of student organizations as well from universities purchase the game. And then reach back out and let us know that they actually really enjoyed it. They had like a Yo Sabo night. And actually, this is also a big thing. We got invited to speak at a university, and that's going to happen in February because Amazing. The professor really just like likes the game. And he worked with primarily first generation Latinos attending college. And he just felt that it would be good to show, you know, how Latinos are reinforcing the Spanish language, but also taking on things that really aren't what they studied, because, you know, I definitely didn't study game making or business in college. So, yeah, but I can say, yeah, in the pipeline, something for the classroom, new way to play, a new way to play to make it more competitive and more interactive with the person that's the older person that's controlling the game. Mm-hmm. And definitely have seen it used in the classroom for a really fun and interactive way to get the students talking.
Amazing. So it sounds like you can use the game now and adapt it a little bit for your classroom environment, and you're coming out with a new version that's going to be more tailored to children and sentence building, which is great. And I know that we have a ton of listeners who are teachers of dual language classrooms who will be very excited when that version comes out. So you should let us know. We'll post it. We'll share it with our audience. I know I will definitely be getting a copy of that child version as well.
I appreciate that so much, Vero. And we're also, I think one of the goals for that too is to make it cost effective. I think just because we know that a budget for a teacher's classroom is already small. And so we are just really trying to make it as cost effective as possible, so it doesn't feel like a big burden to maybe purchase more than one. But yeah, that's one of the biggest goals that we have. And so that's why it's probably taking a little longer, just to make sure that we have something that could survive a classroom or survive a toddler in general, and then last for a very long time, so it could be used for additional years to come. Yeah,
for sure. And if we have any school administrators listening, make sure to buy fund materials for teacher classrooms as well. Because unfortunately, so many teachers have to go into their pocket to pay for these materials. So like you said, donors choose and, you know, things like that. So it's really wonderful that you're thinking about the affordability of it. And then also know that we have a ton of families who may be homeschooling or who don't have access to like Spanish language exposure in school. So they're doing it kind of on their own time as well.
On their own time. Yeah, and that even with the main game, I think that's been one of the missions too, because I know that my mom, you know, when we would go to, you know, Target or somewhere, you know, there's always a hesitation to purchase something. And so being a small business, a person really is trusting a random website, you know, to get this game. And so we've really tried to be very competitive with our pricing. You know, every time we could reduce the price, even by a little, like, you know, a nickel might not seem like a lot, but in retrospect, when you're looking at it as a business, it is a lot of money sometimes. But we've definitely been trying to make it more accessible, and we're hoping to help that with the upcoming year too, just because we've learned a little more, you know, refined the process a little bit better to get the game out there for maybe cheaper while still making sure that it doesn't get damaged along the way. I could say we as a team, me, Jess, and Vic, who's my brother-in-law, I think we're working really hard to make sure that families don't hesitate to purchase, because we never, ever want it to be a money issue or a money barrier.
For sure. That's amazing that you're bringing that perspective to it as well. And yes, I'm so excited to see those new versions come out. I want to know, what are your hopes and dreams for the Yosabo game? Like 10 years from now, if everything goes your way, what do you see and envision?
Oh man, it's so hard sometimes to visualize because Yosabo is barely going to be on their 2-year anniversary next year. And so for me, I just felt like everything's been moving so quickly sometimes. And it's like, sometimes you're right. You know, we have to look and see like, oh, what do we hope to have in like 10 years or all of that. But to be honest with you, I think the goal or the dream is just to keep selling our base while still maintaining bigger packs. So like I mentioned, the Classroom Edition, we've had a lot of requests with Spanish words that are spoken all over the world. And that's what we're developing right now at version 2. And we're hoping to have that release next year where people will feel like their language, you know, maybe from Puerto Rico, El Salvador, all these other places that have different words, feel included in the game. And that's definitely going to happen. And we're really happy to get that started. Yeah, I think in 10 years, we just want to see it continue, but also want to see this effect that we've had in the population, right, where they're able to now look back and relate it back more towards a game night, and so that we remove that negative connotation. And I really do hope in 10 years that we've made an impact on that. You know, I think now if people look up Nosabo, our stuff might come up, and I really want that to happen because I want people to know that there is a fun outlet that they get to partake in. But yeah, in 10 years, I'll be honest, I will say that in 10 years, I really do want to be doing Yosabo full time. I think that, you know, it would be awesome because I get to work with my wife and I get to work with my brother-in-law, and my abuelita is the one that helps pack. You know, she's the one that's always telling us like no breaks, because sometimes I'm like, yeah, we should take a break because, you know, then you make a mistake. But, you know, she's always the one trying to push us more and more. And I love that, being able to work with my family. You know, it's amazing, and it's something that I don't take for granted at all. So in 10 years, yeah, like, Yosabo is self-sustained, or able to still be working together, developing products and really helping the community, because this year we kind of started. We did a Yosabo class grant where we asked teachers to submit a TikTok video asking about what they might need in the classroom and how the supplies that they purchase with the money will help further the students' education. And I really want to continue to do that. And just like the same thing I mentioned, right? Donors choose. Giving money out, you know, to the community, because as much as we get, we want to give back. You know, I want it to be that Yosabo is known for that cultivation in the community, because I've always wanted to just be like that. Like, one of the dreams that I had, just because I saw it in my high school, was having a scholarship named after you. And so now 10 years, I do want to have, you know, like, oh, you should have your student apply for the Yosabo scholarship. Yes. You know, and just having that might be a possibility in 10 years. I'll say it now. Yeah, let's make that a goal.
Yes. Well, Carlos, thank you so much for sharing that vision with us. And, you know, I say so much, our work is collective and communal. And that's just who we are as a people and as a culture. And so I think it's beautiful, the approach that you're taking in your business reflects that, and reflects the community that probably, and the culture that raised you, is now like reflected in the way that you're going about with this business. And we need more businesses to be successful like that. And so I'm very confident that that's going to happen for you in 10 years. Hopefully we listen back to this and we're like checking off the list of all the things. So yes, thank you for sharing that. And before we close, we thought it would be fun to play the Yosabo game. It's been really cool to see this game take off on TikTok and Instagram with family and friends playing it. So how about we play a few rounds of Como Se Dice?
Yeah, totally. So I have some cards here. I think they vary from difficulty, but I think the more important thing is that they are just kind of words that maybe you don't say all the time. And so that's why, you know, it's okay to forget those, but now I'm not going to forget them. And so, and then it's funny because I have this line that I use in all the videos. So it's going to sound like kind of repetitive, but Yosabo, the game is really easy to play. We have Como Se Dice cards, Breva cards, and Chancla cards. como se dice cards are going to be cards where I give you the English word and then you give me back the Spanish translation. So it's really easy to play.
Okay.
So the first word I have is como se dice first aid.
First aid.
Yes. And that's part of our sana sana colita de rana pack.
Sana sana colita de rana. So if you're like studying medicine and you're a nurse or lo que sea, this is a really good pack for you. Okay. First aid. Primeros auxilios.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, Dios mío. Yeah, I was like, when you said it, I was like, no, no sé.
Yeah, that's right.
But, oh, primeros auxilios. Yay. Yeah. Okay.
And it's funny because at my regular day job, they wanted to play Yosabo, but they don't speak Spanish. They had very slight knowledge of it. And when they said primeros, and I was like, wow, you got the first word. You know, like if you needed to do that in a regular world, I think you could get by. It's okay. Yeah. You got the first one.
Yeah.
Okay. This one's always fun because I think I learned some different things when I was out in Europe. ¿Cómo se dice vacuum in Spanish?
Aspiradora.
Yes, that's right. And then what I learned in when I was out in London, somebody told me, we interviewed him, he's Ecuadorian. He said in London, they don't call it aspiradora, they call it El Henry.
El Henry.
That's the brand name of those vacuums. And so they always just say El Henry. I'm like, what is that? And I had to look it up. I couldn't believe it.
I feel like in Mexico, that's a thing with Tupperware, like containers. I feel like they say El Topper. Right?
Yeah, but that's just the brand.
That's just a brand, yeah.
But that really makes you think, right? Like that it is possible to become, you know, your product known for something, even though it's a completely different name. Okay. ¿Cómo se dice lungs in Spanish?
You know what? I feel like it's close. The only word that I'm coming up with is egos, which I think is big, but I feel like it's something close to that. No.
Lungs? L-U-N-G-S.
Yeah, lungs. No, I know, but I feel like the Spanish word for it sounds like, okay, no. Okay, my brain is not making the connection. No lo sé. No sabo.
Es pulmones.
Pulmones. Okay, got it.
Yeah, that's the one. Okay. This one's another one for the first aid, just because, you know, I had someone message me like 2 weeks ago asking for like a medical one just because they work in, I think they said they were an intern somewhere and they were just like, I think it would be really great. ¿Cómo se dice crutches in Spanish?
Crutches.
Crutches.
Ni idea.
Muletas.
Muletas. Okay. Yeah, muletas.
That's right. Okay. And then I wanted to ask you just because I want to see what you grew up with. So this is a chancla card, and it's basically has a scenario at the top, which we kind of, you know, brought out from our childhood. And then it has a challenge at the bottom, which ranges from just you naming things to you actually doing some challenges. And so this one says, you accidentally yelled back, ¿qué? When your mom called for you. And so I would give that to you because I think you would maybe like, you would have done that when you were growing up. And it says, name 4 Spanish shows from your childhood.
Name 4 Spanish shows from your childhood. Okay. Was the first part connected to the second part? I'm like,
sometimes it is, sometimes it's not, but you're good with just naming.
Okay. 4 Spanish shows from my childhood. Though I'll just go back to the first part quickly because you mentioned like, if you yell at que, I would hear from my mom. No se dice que, se dice mande.
Yeah. That's right.
That's like, what is in my brain?
Ingrained in there.
Ingrained in there. So for 4 Spanish shows from my childhood, I would say, let me see. This is really interesting because my mom actually didn't watch Spanish telenovelas. She watched American ones like Guiding Light. That's like the American ones are coming to my mind. But there's Sábado Gigante.
That's right.
There is Cristina.
Oh, that's the talk show, right?
That's the talk show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, I remember that show. Oh, wow. Yeah. That's the memory unlocked right now.
That's like way back. then there is, I can't remember the name of the telenovela, but I remember that the main character's name was Veronica. And I remember the tagline. And then Rebelde is coming to mind as well.
Oh, yeah. Rebelde?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is amazing to see, right? Like the success that they've brought over the years now and
yeah,
generations going to there and then like new generations learning about it. But yeah, I think you pass. I think we would give you that one. So you would get to keep it and you wouldn't.
I'd get to keep the chancla card. Oh, yeah, exactly. So what if you got three instead of four, which you'd, it'd be like all or nothing?
Yeah. So we on the rules, we leave it up to the group because you're presenting to the group. And if the group agrees that you did a good enough challenge, then you would keep the card and the group has to take a shot. Or has to drink.
Oh, okay.
But if they agree that you didn't, then you wouldn't take the card and you would have to take a drink or a shot.
Okay. You're very kind. If I was playing with my sister, she would convince the group not to give me the card. She'd be like, nah.
Oh, man. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes, you know, we'll be playing out in the street sometime because, you know, we do a lot of the filming out there. Mm-hmm. And then they'll be like, nah, don't give it to him. He doesn't get it, you know, and all that stuff. And it's just funny to me because it's just like friendly, you know, friendly competition. But I have this one too, just to see. This is a Preba time. What plant do people say to use to soothe a burn?
Aloe.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And in Spanish is?
In Spanish is, I don't know.
Sábila.
Sábila.
And it's funny because growing up, like, I remember we used to cut that a lot. It used to be everywhere. And my mom would like open it and then she would use it and I'd be like, what is this? And now you grow up and it's like everything, right? Like, and it's crazy to see sometimes that your parents really do know all these hierbas that do these things, plants.
Yeah, for sure. All of these like home remedies. I don't know if you like ever had the like cone with smoke in your ear. Was that a thing?
Yeah, I haven't had it, but I was there when they did it. Yeah.
It's
crazy to see. Well, it's not crazy to see, but it's just like these things just work, you know. And sometimes, you know, people doubt them because it's not traditional medicine, but I think it's really interesting. Even when you go to like a curandero, you know, sometimes it's just maybe like you need sort of that experience to help you just get better in general or take your body and mind to like, you know, a non-sick state. But yeah, I've always, you know, going to it there when I was like younger and seeing them work and, you know, my grandma really believing in it and my grandma going through those things and actually getting better or even just the positivity that sometimes is around there has been really awesome to see. But yeah, that really is how Yo Salvo the game is played. And it's meant to just be, you know, like a conversational game, right? Like we're talking and, you know, there is that level of competitiveness. But, you know, I remember the first time we did the beta test. I took it with my friends and there was four of us and we played for like a good hour and a half and we didn't even get through like 30 cards because we were stuck talking because it just made everybody start saying like what they experienced and the differences. And, you know, maybe some people, I think my friend is like Mexican and Guatemalan. And so he was telling us the differences he had in his household and how they played into effect now that he's a little bit older. But
that's amazing. Well, thank you so much for playing with us on the show today and for creating the game in general, creating these moments where our community can have fun, learn the language, build connections across generations, as you said. It's such important work that you're doing, and I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show and share your story with our listeners today. As we close, we always like to ask our guests, what is bringing them joy these days? So what's bringing you joy these days?
I think my health a lot, because we recently had something happen with my father-in-law, Jess's dad, where it was very sudden. You know, he was rushed to the ER and he had to have emergency surgery. And, you know, one day to the next, it was like he wasn't walking. And then he was, you know, bedridden. And so for me, you know, sometimes I feel like we take things for granted. Right now, for example, we're training for a marathon because we did one this year and we're doing another one next year. But, you know, looking back at it, you know, I am very grateful that I'm, you know, in good health and have the time to train and have the ability to do these things. And so for that, my health is probably one that I put at the top right now just because of everything that's happening around me.
Yeah. I'm so sorry to hear that. And like you mentioned, it really does put things in perspective in terms of our ability to wake up and have another breath, to walk out to the park, to, like you said, run a marathon. So thank you so much for sharing that reflection, for being here with us today. And we can't wait to interview you in 10 years to hear about the scholarship fund and all of the joys between now and then. Thank you once again, Carlos.
Yeah, Vero, thank you for having me and letting me speak about this. And yeah, we're definitely putting it out there into the universe. And, you know, even from here to 10 years from now, we'll be trying to help the community as much as we can, helping teachers, families, anybody we can.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you liked what you heard, take a minute to share this podcast with a friend or colleague. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast platform. Your ratings and reviews help us to keep the podcast lights on. We can't do this without your support. Every subscription, share, follow, download, and review makes a big difference and helps others find our show. Also, we love hearing from you. Tell us what you think of the podcast. Email us at hello@bilingualgeneration.com. You can also slide into our DMs on Instagram at Talking to Grandma. If you are interested in learning more about our workshops and curricular tools for schools serving multilingual and emerging multilingual students, visit our website at www.bilingualgeneration.com or write us at hello@bilingualgeneration.com. Talking to Grandma is owned by Bilingual Generation. Rebecca De Leon is our editor and producer. The artwork for Talking to Grandma was created by Nancy Guevara. And I'm your host, Dr. Veronica Benavides. See you next episode.